I'll be kind to you tonight if y'all will be kind to me.
Hallelujah.
I won't preach very long. If y'all will just help me a little bit here. In Acts chapter 26, verse 28, one verse of scripture. I could read others, but I just want to read this one scripture. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, listen to what Agrippa said. He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Somebody say almost. My, my. What a terrible word. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Just for a few minutes tonight, I want to talk about this subject about almost. Amen. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Hallelujah. And everybody said in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Lord bless you. Hallelujah. It's been, I guess, 20 years ago, perhaps even longer, 25 years ago, I was going to sell insurance. And I had to take a test. And they told me, they said, it don't matter what you make as long as you make a 70. If you make a 70, you pass. Anything below that, you fail. And it wouldn't make any difference if I'd have made a 68 or a 69. Then, and they told me that I'd failed. It wouldn't make no difference how loud I screamed and what kind of fit I would throw. Man, that wouldn't change the fact that I flunked. And I can't imagine anybody taking a test and needing a 70 to pass and getting a 68 and then going around high-fiving folks, jumping up and down and just laughing and giggling. What's wrong with you? I said, man, I almost passed the test. What do you mean? Well, I almost passed it. Praise God. I didn't like the 2 points and I would have passed it. Well, man, you failed it. Yeah, but I almost passed. Maybe you ball players around here, if you ever, I played basketball when I was in school, man, and it would be quite an exciting thing to be dribbling down the court, Brother Bill, and we're behind 1 point. Now I've got the basketball, and I cross half court. And there's 2 or 3 guys all over me, man, but the clock's ticking down, and it's about 2 seconds left, and I haul off, and I throw that basketball just as hard and high as I can toward the basket. And it goes and makes its high arch, and it hits the rim, and it bounces up and bounces around, and it hits the rim and rolls around 2 or 3 times, and the crowd's hushed, and ain't nobody saying nothing, and then the ball falls off, and I miss the shot. And everybody jumps up, and everybody's high-fiving one another, and everybody's happy, he almost made it. You see how close that was? That close, and we would have won the game. But this word almost, we could talk about it in a lot of different things. Anybody remember Evel Knievel? Evel Knievel was an idiot. I won't take that back. Amen. But he went to Caesar's Palace years ago, and he was going to jump, I forget how many cars and vehicles, and he was going to go up a ramp and jump all these cars and come down on the other side. Y'all remember this? Amen. And he did it on national television. Amen. He got he revved up that motor, and amen. Everybody was just holding their breath, and they was watching, and he with anticipation. He went down the runway, just giving it everything it had. He come up out of the air, and he went all the way over down on the other ramp. And when he went down just a little bit sideways, and his wheels bobbled. Amen. And when he did, he hit the deal and flipped over, and I think he broke just about every bone in his body. Can you imagine everybody getting excited about the fact that he almost made it? I think y'all are with me so far. Man, this word almost is not a good word. Man, because if you think about it, man, it don't matter how close you came if you almost made it. Man, it's the same thing as missing it 1,000 miles. I don't want it to be said about living for God that I almost made it. But I want to make it. As a matter of fact, I'm telling you, I got to make it. I've invested, amen, 30-something years of my life into this, and I got to make it. Praise God. I hope somebody feels the same way that I feel. Glory to God. I don't want to almost make it. Amen. In 2 Thessalonians, these scriptures are so... Oh, Lord, have mercy. Listen to it. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who will let, now letteth, will let until he be taken out of the way. This mystery of iniquity that was working in Paul's day is definitely working in our day. Amen. And if you want to paraphrase it, this mystery of iniquity, it is a lawlessness. It is this deal where it says, you know, don't fence me in. Amen. Don't give me any obligations. Amen. I just want to be footloose and fancy free. There is a mystery of iniquity that's working in our land today. Amen. And I skip on down to verse 10. He says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. But they, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Praise God. Can I preach just for a few minutes and tell you that there is a mystery of iniquity that's working in Mayflower, Arkansas, that's working in the United States of America today, this lawlessness that says, hey, I just want to do my thing. Amen. Every man will do what's right in his own eyes. That's what they did in one place in the Old Testament, but that don't make it right. Let somebody say amen. Glory to God. I've got some things listed down here that I wrote down this afternoon. Amen. But listen to this. Amen. Nobody is lost. Oh, Lord Jesus. Nobody, everybody's going to be saved. Amen. There's a preacher that's preaching this in St. Louis, Missouri. I could call his name. Amen. But I'm not going to do that. Amen. This man is preaching a blanket coverage. Amen. He's talking about how that Jesus Christ died once and for all. And he believed that when Jesus died on Calvary, his blood purchased all of mankind. Amen. Adolf Hitler is going to heaven. Amen. Charles Manson is going to heaven. Amen. Some of these other serial killers, some of these rapists, some of these thugs and thieves that don't care anything about God, they're going. Amen. But church, I don't believe that for one second. I don't believe, amen, that these kind of people are going to go through the gate. I believe that they're going to be lost. Can you say amen? I have these things written down. Nobody's lost. Everybody's saved. If you don't believe it, just knock on a few doors. Just invite a few people to church. Amen. You can go to Walmart and you can see somebody, amen, that looked like they just come out of the Ringling Brothers circus. Amen. And they're walking around dressed about as ungodly as you can get. But if you ask them, oh, I go to church. I'm already saved. It is a shame that there's nobody lost. Everybody is saved. But I don't believe that. Listen to this. Church is not important. There is a spirit that's in our land today that says church is really not important. If you go back and study in the Old Testament when Israel was marching through the wilderness and going from point A to point B, they was traveling. Amen. If you go back and study, you'll find out that they carried an Ark of the Covenant which represented the presence of God. And when they would camp, amen, they would put the Ark down and there would be three tribes on the north, three on the south, three on the west, and three on the east. And God would be right in the middle of it all. Praise God. I firmly believe that God ought to be in the middle of our life. And I think that church ought to be a part of our life. This is where the saints of God meet. This is where we sing songs of victory and praise. This is where we hear good testimonies like we've heard tonight. This is where we hear some good preaching every now and then. Glory to God. We need church. I told someone the other day, I said, I cut down a bunch of limbs. I mean, it was hanging down in my yard. I just went out to them big old shears or lopers or whatever you call them, and I cut the limb down, let them fall. Amen. They was laying all over the deal. It would be kind of stupid of me, amen, to say that, well, don't worry about them limbs. You can come back next year and they'll still be leaving. They'll still be green. They'll still be living. Amen. Because when you cut them off from the body, amen, they're going to die. Glory to God. I read an article one time, and it caught my attention, amen, that they're about this litter of puppies, amen. Somebody had, their dog had a litter of puppies, and the mother died. And them dogs never ate anything for about 6 months. They didn't eat anything, but they just kept on growing, and they just kept on living. And I said, now this has got to be something in National Inquiry. Because you know and I know that's not possible. If you don't eat, you're going to starve to death. I lost some of you. Glory to God. I'm telling you right now, we need church. Oh, we need church. God said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as we see that day approaching. Glory to God. I have wrote down here, prayer is useless. It's not doing any good. All I'm doing is banging my head against the wall. Amen. I'm just wearing myself out. Amen. And it's not doing any good. The devil is a liar, and he is the father of lies. The truth is not in him. But yet, there are those that feel this way. I'm telling you, there's a mystery of iniquity. It's in the land. Praise and worship, it's just a ritual. It's just bodily exercise. But I believe that our praise and worship is essential. I believe it's something that is real and it's right. I put it on the sign out there, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I believe that our God-given right, if I want to term it that way, or if it's our God-given obligation, sister Brown, to worship Him and to give God the praise. Somebody say amen. I believe that we are to give God some praise. If you feel like that worship and praise is all a bunch of ritual, it's just a bunch of drummed up, amen, hyper up to, amen, emotion, well, let you just go ahead and believe what you want to. But I, one that believe, praise God, that we need to worship, we need to praise, and we need to magnify the Lord. Glory to God. The Bible is fictitious. It's just another book. Amen. It's just a bunch of words. Amen. It don't mean a thing. It's not God's Word. But Lord, have mercy. Church, if we just start throwing stuff out the window, if we just start throwing it out and saying, well, this don't matter and this is not real and that doesn't pay. Listen, church, we find ourselves, amen, in a whole lot of trouble. How many believe the Bible is right? Oh, somebody said the Bible's full of contradictions. Amen. And there's full of loopholes. And well, you know, it really don't, that's just your opinion of it. Amen. But I'm telling you what, the Bible is right. Heaven is just a fairy tale. Hell is just a joke. Lord, have mercy. Oh, there's no such place as hell, Brother Mac. What kind of loving God would send somebody to hell? What kind of God is that? That would say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. What kind of God would do that? Well, I'll tell you what kind of God would do it, Sister Trudy. A righteous God. A holy God. A just God. Some of y'all ain't going to say amen, but I'm going to tell you what. When God does something, He does it right. And when He does it, praise God, you can't say, well, why are you doing that? Amen. God's God all by Himself. And there are those, amen, that will, the Bible bears it out, that they'll get up there and say, Lord, didn't I do this? Lord, didn't I do that? Lord, didn't I say this? Lord, didn't I do that? And the Lord's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Amen. It don't make no difference, Sister Liz, how many church membership rolls you sign. It don't make no difference how many preachers' hands you shake. It don't make any difference, amen, what you do. If you haven't received this thing like the Bible says, praise God, you might as well just say, amen, that, Lord, like this man, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, but I don't want somebody to almost make it. I want somebody to make it all the way through. Glory to God. I've got some other stuff wrote down here. Amen. I'll just leave it alone. Glory to God. I'm just telling you, there's a mystery of iniquity in our land. A lawlessness, amen, that's trying to make the Word of God of none effect. And that's what Jesus told those Pharisees and hypocrites, those Sadducees. He said, you make the Word of God of none effect, that you may keep the traditions of your fathers. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Just because Mama or Grandma did it a certain way don't necessarily make it right. Praise God. You need to experience this for yourself. Glory to God. I know I'm right. A delusion is a false mental concept of truth. I don't want God, and you heard me right, I don't want God to send me a strong delusion because I did not love the truth. But I want to fall in love with the truth over and over again. Somebody say amen. Listen to these words, and I'm going to move on. He said, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Glory to God. I love this way. I love this way. Praise God. I don't want to run from the light, but I want to run to the light. Amen. Hallelujah. But there is a mystery of iniquity. It's in the land today. Man, and it's working. Man, I tell you, it's working. Naaman come many miles to get his healing because he heard that there was a man of God that would tell him what he needed to do in order to get rid of his leprosy. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. If I had leprosy, if my nose was being eaten off with this cancerous disease, if my fingers was rotting off, if my toes, amen, was rotting, amen, with this dreadful disease called leprosy. Hello, somebody. If I had blotches of skin, sores all over my body, and I was hurting at night, and I couldn't sleep, and I had to cover them up in the day because it looked so hideous, I would want to get healed. And when some little old maid servant from Israel said, "There's a man of God down there. He'll tell you what you got to do if you'll just go down there." Amen. Naaman loaded up all the mules. He loaded up all these garments, all the gold, all the silver, all the spices, all the riches. He went down. He meant business. He went down there. He was going to pay that preacher. He was going to get his healing. Oh, glory to God. He got down there. And when he stood out there, said, "Tell Naaman, go tell the man of God that Naaman is out here." And Naaman wants to talk to him. Praise God. You know the story. But Naaman, amen, was standing out there waiting. But the preacher just sent a servant out. And he said, "Go dip 7 times in Jordan." That's all you got to do. Just go dip 7 times in Jordan. And the Bible says that Naaman got so mad. He got so mad. He got so angry. The Bible said he went away in a rage. Amen. When he went away in a rage, his thoughts, his words were, he said, "Behold, I thought." That's where a lot of people get in trouble. They said, "I thought." Well, I see it this way. Well, I don't think you got to do this. You better throw that out the window and get in the book, praise God, because the Bible says we need to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. We need to get in the book. Oh, but I thought. Amen. This old mystery of iniquity, this spirit of lawlessness, it's in the land today. And it's working right here in Mayflower. Amen. Where people are coming to the conclusion that you ain't got to do all that. Amen. You don't have to go to church. Amen. Well, let's just change that a little bit. I get to come to church. Does that sound better? I count it a privilege and an honor to be in the house of the Lord. Glory to God. Well, thank you, Jesus. But this old mystery of iniquity, it's a spirit of deception. It's a spirit, amen, of lies, of deceivableness. Oh, God. Listen to the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." He said, "All these other things will be added unto you." Amen. Didn't he say that? Yes. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." And he said, "And take no thought for tomorrow." Yeah. He said, "Because tomorrow will take care of itself." Right. I preach this and I've expounded from it over and over again. Amen. And there's a lot of people that's not living for God because of yesterday. And I could go into that because it wasn't that many years ago, amen, they called and wanted me to preach a funeral of a young lady that died, amen, and she got bitterness in her heart, and she got angry, and she saw, amen, some things that was going on, and some people said some things to her, and it crushed her, and she got out of church, and she couldn't get back. Seemed like I don't know what the problem was, but she died, and they called and wanted me to preach the funeral. Those kind of funerals are tough. But she couldn't live for God because of something that happened a long time ago. Man, if that is a hang up with you, you need to hear what this preacher is saying. Man, you better let go of some things. But I really wanted to address the other thief, Brother Aubrey, and that is that word called tomorrow. When Jesus said, you don't need to take no thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. Am I doing all right? Glory to God. The Bible says, Brother Kyle, boast or brag not of thyself of tomorrow, because you don't know what a day may bring. We can brag and say, oh, listen, church, are you listening with me? I'm going to finish here in just a second. Help me, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. To push us off and to say, well, preacher, I'm going to, but not today. Procrastinating is putting off what you know you need to do. You're putting it off until tomorrow, that day that seems to never get here. Are you with me? I know I need to, preacher, but not right now. I'm going to one of these days, but not right now. Some of you was there when this individual, one of the best piano players you would ever want to hear in your life, amen, very talented individual. Man, he could just, my organ, piano, anything with keys, amen, he was just good. Stood in the foyer of the church, amen, just with his head hanging low, and after service, preacher, I need to talk to you just for a minute. I need to talk to you. And after everybody had left, he said, man, he said, I appreciate what you said tonight. And he said, I probably should have went to the altar. He said, I should have went up there and prayed. He said, but he said, I've got some things that I'm trying to get worked out. And he said, me and my wife have been broke up. And he said, we're trying to get back together. And he said, I just want you to pray for me. And he said, I'm coming back, amen, Wednesday night. And he said, just pray for me. And, you know, I was all excited. Praise God. You know, I was just, man, looky here. You know, this guy stirred up, and he's going to, him and his wife is getting back together, and he's under conviction. Praise God. This is a sad story, because that was on Sunday night. On Tuesday night, amen, when he was living not too many miles from here in a mobile home and saying, what, he died, Sister Peggy, of a heart attack in the middle of the night. And when got back, the word got back to me that he had died in the middle of the night with a heart attack. And he was a little bit older than I was at the time, but not that much. And I thought, my God, I said, just Sunday night, I said, he was under conviction. Just on a Sunday night, he was saying, I should have went to the altar. On a Sunday night, he said, me and my wife trying to get things worked out. Just a few days ago, he was there under conviction, knowing that he should have went. Now he's dead. Now he's gone. And it's not my place to say that he was lost. Amen. God is the judge. But I know one thing. If he didn't make it, he was so close. He was so close. I can truly say that he almost made it. He never made it back to church. He never made it back to the house of God. The Bible says we ought not boast of thyself of tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Oh my God. Sister George, bless her heart, she's in her 80s. Man, her and her husband pastored at Jonesboro for years. You just have to hear her tell it. When she's on Highway 67, 167, amen, going toward BB, going toward that direction, there was a wreck, cars pulled over, amen, smoke and dust and sirens and red lights, and she got out and ran up there. And there was a young lady, amen, that was lying on the ground, bleeding to death. She went over and sat down, and she took the girl's head and put her in her lap, her head in her lap. And this girl, amen, looked up at her and said, please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. Amen. She said, I used to be in church, and I used to live for God. I used to be, amen, but I've fell away. I've wandered away. I've backslid. Please don't let me die like this. Please don't let me die. And she said it was one of the most awful experiences of her life. Amen. Because that little girl died with her head in her lap. Amen. And I'm sure she probably thought, driving down the road, I've got the whole world at my disposal. Everything's going my way. Everything's looking good. Everything's just right. But I'm going to tell you, if you start boasting and bragging about tomorrow, you don't know what tomorrow holds. And I'm not trying to scare nobody. Those days are over with. Amen. Those days are gone forever. Amen. It seemed like we have become immune. We have become hardened. Amen. But praise God. But I'm telling you what, the Word of God is still right. You better not boast and brag about tomorrow. I'm fixing to one of these days, preacher. But what's about right now? What about today? When the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. But yet, and there are so many people that have this in the back of their mind. I'm going to, preacher. I'm going to. You just wait and see. I'm fixing to. Somehow or other, they don't never get around to it. It breaks my heart when I see people being overpowered or succumbed to this spirit of lawlessness that's in our land that says, I don't have to do all that. All that praying and hollering, I don't have to do that. I don't have to have some preacher preach to me. I don't have to go to church. But I'm telling you right now, God has ordained it in the book. God has ordained it in the Bible. We need to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the Bible says, how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? I don't want this story to end with the word, she almost made it. I don't want this chapter to end in anyone's life, male or female, to say they almost made it. Oh God, I want my name to be written in the Lamb Book of Life. I want to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I want to live for God for the rest of my life. But Paul was preaching to Agrippa. Agrippa was a king. He was a man of stature. He was a man that was well known, had a lot of clout. King Agrippa. But he was not exempt from conviction. Because when Paul preached to him, he got under such conviction that his words were, Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Amen. To think that he got that close. But there's no scripture. Nowhere. There's nothing even in the history books that I know of where King Agrippa ever made peace with God. In the name of Jesus. Someone would come to the music. Just a simple word, just a simple thought. Almost. I almost made it. I almost went to the altar. I almost gave my life, my heart to God. I almost. But almost. It's just like missing it a million miles. Oh God. Somebody just say a little prayer with me right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody pray. Somebody say, God. Oh God. Talk to hearts in this building. Talk to hearts. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Every eye is closed. Please, no one's looking around. Oh, such an important part of the service. Oh, God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, but preacher, I'm already saved. Oh, my Lord. I want to just tell you before we go any further, with everybody praying, everybody got their eyes closed, that you need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you of your sins. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. Oh, yes, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the gift of God. Hallelujah. Greatest gift that God ever gave to mortal man, the gift of the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost in order to be saved. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. We're not going to linger long, but we're going to give someone an opportunity. Amen. Someone a chance. Amen. To step out of your pew, step out into the aisle, make a little short walk to the front of the church. For above all else, I must be saved. For above all else, I must be saved. Oh God, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. For above all else, let's stand together. I must be saved. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to make that step. Oh, such an important step in your life. Oh, God. Don't let it be said, they almost made it. They almost made it. My God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Whatever you got to do to us, Lord, don't let us be lost. Oh, God, chastise us. Whip us, Lord. Correct us, Lord. But don't let us die lost. Above all else, my God, I must be saved.